All right, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Pukonzil Blog. Thanks a lot for coming here to check out all this fantastic stuff that I put up for you. Today I'm going to introduce a new segment, maybe a weekly podcast, maybe just kind of a however often I post it cast. But it's called The Drive to Stay Alive. And basically what it's going to be is it's going to be me on my drive to work or from work every day. Because at that, it's the worst time of my entire day. I don't really like my job. I don't really hate it. It's nice to have a job because I know so many people are unemployed right now. And, you know, money affords you to live and, you know, all that kind of nonsense. But basically, I view my job as the fact that I have to have my job, not that I want to work it. Of course, maybe I'm just looking at it wrong. We'll get into that more at a later date. Basically, the reason I call this 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes between driving from home to work or work back to home, I call it the worst part of my day is because I love being at home. When I'm at home, I can wear whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I'm free to work on my website or this blog, and I can write. I can be creative. I'm doing what I want to do with my life, but somehow I haven't found a way to get paid for it. Like, if I could just do the Pukon Empire stuff full time, it'd just be like a dream come true. I mean, that would be it. That'd be the top of it. But unfortunately, I can't. You know, it's like, trust me, I spend a lot more money on that endeavor than I could ever hope to make on it. I mean, I'm in the red by, let's just say, $200 maybe, you know, between all the hosting fees and whatever. That's beside the point. None of that really matters because I do really enjoy having that content out there. And I hear from time to time people are just like, oh man, I was on your website, you know, like I was looking at stuff from like 7 years ago. It's so awesome you have that. And I'm like, yeah, it's the reason I have it. Like, you know, and also, you know, when all said and done, everything I have on the blog, the website, everything like that, that will be the story of my life. You know, instead of writing a book, you know, you can just go to pukon.com and there it is. That's my life. Or at least my life from 21 on. You know, it's like my childhood, unfortunately, was spent without the internet. And it's weird to think nowadays how if I wanted something, I had to look it up in an encyclopedia or go to the library and, you know, find books. And how instead of sitting around, like, playing games online or chatting with people, you went outside or you called somebody on the phone. I mean, it does really kind of date me. It sounds really weird to be like, talk about life without the internet, because everybody's just like, what? The internet's been around forever. It's like, I remember when we got our first computer, and when we first got a computer, it wasn't even connected to the internet because there was no dial-up yet. But we had the computer, and you could play, like, you know, stupid, it was black, and the text was green on the, and that was it. There was no colors on the screen. It had no internal hard drive. So you had to boot off of a disk and then put another disk in to run a program. And it's like you had some games and stuff, but I mean, you had like simple word processing and everything like that. But it was crazy like how different it was from the computers and internet we know today. It's like, I could have never envisioned back then that you can carry a computer around in your hand. Like a smartphone is basically a computer. You know, so, it's pretty insane, but that's kind of besides the point. But, so, I was always fascinated with computers and the internet and everything. I remember, like, when we first got dial-up, like, how it was just, like, amazing. I was huge on the AOL Instant Messenger, because we got, I mean, everybody got America Online, like, first, because that was, like, the, like, online connector to get to the internet, you know? It's like, you know, there was other brands, I think, like, with Prodigy and CompuServe and shit like that, but... I mean, AOL was pretty much, that was your way to get on the internet. Most people had AOL. It was, like, the most popular, service and everything like that. And, I was hugely into it. Like, as far as, like, chat rooms, and, I made a bunch of friends online that I had never met in real life. And people I used to talk to, like, every day, a couple of girls, or at least, you know, thought they were girls, you know. Who knows, I could have been talking to some old dudes, I don't know, but they acted like girls online, so. But I was really big into that, and that was kind of, like, the beginning of social, like, social networking, you know. It's like, it's AOL Instant Messenger, like, you, and I don't know what it was. Like, it was just kind of maybe, it was the fact that I was so shy, kind of as a kid, like, I didn't have a lot of friends. Like, I had some... My friends that I did have were good friends. Like, you know... Like, my group of, like, seven or whatever like that was, like, really good friends. And they were awesome and everything like that. But I wasn't friends with everybody. You know, it's like I... Those people weren't friends with me. I, like, didn't talk to at all. So it's like I was a little, you know, shy growing up, whatever, like that. I didn't really come into my, like, personality until, like, college at Oshkosh. So it's like AOL Instant Messenger has a kind of like 12 to 15 year old kid, somewhere along those lines. So I remember having it at our Tosa house. I don't really remember having it at 56th Street. So we moved when I was in 7th grade. I'm 12, right? Was he what, 5 in kindergarten? 5? 6 and 1st. Yeah, 7th grade. Yeah, about 12. Something like that. And, yeah, so for me to be able to get online and interact with, like, new people and talk to what I thought were girls and, you know, like, ASL. Remember that? Age, sex, location. That's like the beginning of, like, what do they call it? Like text message kind of talk, you know? It's like we LOL and, like, you know, ROTF, you know, all that stuff started in Instant Messenger and kind of made its way into, like, cell phones for text messaging. Because that's basically all Instant Messenger was text messaging. So, I mean, like, that was... It's definitely, like, an integral part of, like, me being who I was. Just to be able to, like... And I remember, like, one of the first websites I remember going to is the Internet Movie Database. And, I mean, everybody's familiar with the IMDb. You know, it's a very popular site. And, but, I mean, right away, it's, like, the ability of the Internet to kind of inform you about things that you could never... don't understand before. Like, for instance, like, movies, you know, always been in the movies my entire life, like, that's been my thing, like, but what the internet did is gave you the ability to kind of, like, know about something before it came out. I mean, before, I remember I used to get, like, Wizard magazine, which is for, like, comics and things like that, comics and movies and, you know, TV shows, like, I mean, but it was basically kind of like, had stuff about the X-Men and everything. I remember when they first said something about, hey, if there'd ever be an X-Men movie, you know, this is who we'd cast. And this was mid-90s, maybe. First X-Men movie came out around 2000, so this must have been early to mid-90s. And I remember, like, they put, you know, who we'd cast as Professor X was Patrick Stewart, who eventually, you know, as you know, played Professor X, but they're like, there's no other choice. So there was stuff like that where you were like, oh, this is really cool. But see, the internet changed all of that. You know, you just had more access to information, like, right away. So that really kind of changed me a lot. So why do we get talking about the internet? I don't know, because Instant Messenger and everything. But, oh, yeah, basically. So I got really attached to the internet. And I got really attached to being able to, like, send out information to people. Like, you know, be able to share things with people. And that led to me creating my blog. Or probably the website. I think the website came first. Yeah, the website came first basically around 2001. Led me creating the website, and that pretty much changed me, like, who I am. And the website led to the blog. Blog leads to the Daily Burner and just all sorts. I mean, it just kind of goes crazy from there. But I think the whole point of this was to say that that is what I love to do. Like, if I had my way in life, I would just work on that kind of stuff. And what I do at my job is basically the opposite of creativity. Like, at my job, all I'm doing is plugging in numbers and transferring something that's on a sheet of paper into a computer. It's pretty much as boring as it sounds, and it's never what I thought I would do with my life. Like, it's completely different. I mean, it doesn't tap into my creativity at all, and I think that's one of the reasons I started going crazy and started pretty much hating my job, because I'm just like, this is awful. This is what I do, like, all day and everything like that. And then I realized, and it's weird because, I mean, I've been there for 5 years, but I mean, it took me a long time to realize that, like, all right, like, do this, you could do this stuff during the day. It's good to have a job, gives you the money, whatever, like that, you know. But then take advantage of that precious time that you have outside of work to do what you love. And late, like, within the last, like, few years, that's when I really just kind of kicked it up a notch, you know. As far as all the stuff you see written on here, like, I do now, like, take the time to work on all this kind of stuff to kind of fuel my creativity that just kind of keeps me going. Because without being able to, like, even see, so, like, what I'm doing right now, I'm just talking, like, you know, talking stuff out. And this is creative because I'm coming up with this, like, just off the top of my head. Like, I'm just really kind of just creating, basically. And the thing is, without being able to do this, I'd go crazy. I'd just absolutely go crazy. And for a time, I was crazy. I'll admit it. Like, I was just mad. Just because, like, and I was angry all the time and just kind of, like, hating stuff, and I'm like, that's not what I want to be. I don't want to hate things, you know. So it's like, you can't live your life like that. And so I just kind of, like, decided that I'd probably be better off just to just kind of be nonchalant, really kind of passive, just kind of, like, really not judgmental about my job. Just kind of just go there, punch in, punch out, you know, just kind of, like, whatever. Don't, like, hate it, don't love it, you know. Obviously, there's better days and bad days and better days, but just kind of, like, go and deal with it, you know, for lack of a better way to say it. And then love what I do when I'm outside of work. And that has allowed me to find just, like, a better balance as far as just everything goes, like, and it's just, things are better, like, you know, it's, and it's weird because it all is just kind of, like, how you look at it, you know, because I could sit here and just, you know, say that everything is terrible. Oh, it's so depressing, and I hate this and everything like that. And if I say it enough, I'm going to believe it. and I'm always going to think that things are terrible and whatever. And, you know, granted, life isn't as great as I had imagined, but, you know, it's just kind of just figuring it out and just kind of rolling with the changes, man. And, but if I think, I mean, and like it comes back to all you gotta do, it's all in your manner of perspective and in your manner of thinking. That you think positive, you'll probably be positive. And, you know, as I'm on my way to work right here, it's like, sure, it's Monday. Mondays suck. I mean, everybody hates Mondays. But it's just kind of like, I had a really good weekend. I was able to get a lot accomplished. And I was able just to kind of like relax and just recoup and everything like that. And I didn't drink at all, which is the craziest thing. Because like, I fucking toss them back all the time, like with the best of them. And I feel great. Like, this is probably, I don't want it to say, this is probably the first time in 5 years, because like, that I'm working this 9 to 5, that I'm gonna go into work today on a Monday and I feel great. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna sit there at work and once I get to work, I'll probably be like upset. I'm not gonna sit there and smile and be like, yay, work, you know? But like, I don't feel like shit. And that sucks that it took me 5 years to feel this way. I don't know if it's anything I've done recently. Because I'm currently, and I'll talk more about this on the drive home, but like, currently on this, you know, this go bananas kick. It's like I'm just eating bananas and drinking water, and that's it. So, it's weird because like, I was, well, I'll get into that later. But, basically, I don't feel like I hate myself right now. It's a really strange feeling because I've always been like, I'm not ugly, but I'm definitely not what you'd call attractive. And unfortunately, I have, you know, a little bit of a weight problem, you know. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time. I'm gonna lodge right here. So it's like, I've never felt good about myself because of my outside appearance, and it just kind of negatively affects me, I guess. You know, it's like, I just feel like shit all the time on the inside, because I kind of feel like shit on the outside. Like, and granted, like, some of that is physically, because, like, you know, when you're heavier, it takes more effort to move around. You get out of breath faster walking upstairs and shit. Like, so it's like, you do feel physically like shit, but I also have felt like emotionally and mentally like shit because of how I look. And I can change that, you know. Either just be proud of who I am, or work to make myself better physically. And that's something, you know, I've always struggled with doing, and I hopefully can do again someday. It'd be really nice to, you know, to do that again. But it all starts with a positive mental focus. You know, because you can't change who you are on the outside unless you change yourself on the inside. And it's a tall task. Very tall task, because there's so much wrong inside of me. So most of it my fault. Some of it isn't my fault. Or maybe it's all my fault. I have no idea. But I'm going to pretty much use this as, you know, I'm probably within 3 minutes of arriving at work. I'm going to use this this time just to kind of talk things over. And then when I record it and kind of put it online, pretty much I see that as holding myself accountable to doing all the things that I said I was going to do, or making, coming, you know, through with any promises that I make, or just being able to hear myself and just going like, just want to hit myself like a year later and be like, what the hell is wrong with you, you dope, you know? You had so many good things going for you and you're sitting here complaining about stuff, you know? It's like, just like, nut up or shut up, you know? It's like, quit talking about what you're going to do to change things and just go out and just change them, man. So, this is hopefully the first step into, I don't know, a better existence and everything like that. So, yeah, this is been episode one of The Drive to Stay Alive. Who really knows how often I will do these? Don't really know if anybody really even cares about this kind of stuff. But that's kind of besides the point. Like, this isn't for you, man. This is for me to kind of, you know, fix my life. Fix my fucking face while I'm at it, you know? I'm just kidding. I think I got a pretty face. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. Just really kind of never know. It's always good to kind of start something or something new or try something else, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, like, the old ways weren't working, man. You know, I got to do something different because, you know, I was stuck for a very long time. And, you know, I just want to kind of be back to where I used to be, so. We'll see, though, man. We'll see. There's a lot of time left. But here I am pulling in, and thank you for listening to episode one of The Drive to Stay Alive. This is Scott Reck, a.k.a. Pookon of Pookon.com and Pookonzill blog, saying thanks a lot, and keep living, man. There's no greater thing than being alive. All right. Well, here we are. This is roughly 7 hours after, not 7 hours, shit. Maybe 9 and a half. Damn, has it really been that long? Your kids, Marty! Something's gotta be done about your kids! has it really been that long? 9 and a half hours or so since my last entry into this Drive to Stay Alive. This is the drive home from work. Normally, the drive home isn't too bad. Definitely not as bad as the drive to work. But the reason why I also hate this is because I just want to be home. Like I previously kind of explained, like I just kind of like hang out at work all day and it's mindlessly numbing. Just kind of doing something I can't stand to do. And it just kind of drives me crazy. So it's like, when I'm sitting in the car, I'm just like, dude, I just want to get home. Because it's like, once I get home, then I can, like, you know, take my pants off, which is, I mean, come on. That's like the coolest thing. I mean, that's everybody's favorite thing to do. But I mean, once you get home, I can take my pants off, and then I'm free to basically do whatever I want within reason. Obviously, I can't travel to France or, you know, stab a guy in his neck. You know, it's like those kind of things you know, either get you it's a little impossible, or the latter kind of gets you in jail. So you don't need that. I mean, but yeah, because basically once I get home, I can just do whatever I want, and it's like I'm experience like some freedom that I don't have during the 9 to 5, you know, work day that kind of handcuffs us all, you know? So I'm sitting here in the car and I'm just like, dude, I just want to be home. I mean, it's like, most people look at it and be like, oh, I'm so excited, I'm heading home. But I'm just like, dude, I just want to be there. And that's why, like, if I have it my way, I'm going to be one of the first person people to use, like, transporters. Regardless of, you know, all the warnings that scientists give you. Like, you know, we've all seen The Fly, you know, and it's like, you try to transport yourself, like, one place to another. But, like, you know, a fly gets in there, you turn into some weird human, you know, fly and everything like that. So, I mean, we all know the science behind it, making it, like, a really risky thing. But, honestly, I'll volunteer for the human human transporter program. You know, it's like, I don't want the time it takes to get from one place to another. It's like, I just want to be there, you know? It's like, you know, and the thing that sucks about that is like, yeah, true. Everybody's heard the saying, like, you know, it's not about the destination, it's about the voyage. Well, that may be true for, like, you know, a lot of things. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, like, I have had a lot of good journeys, like, in a car or, you know, on a plane or some shit. Maybe not so much on a plane, but in a car on the way somewhere where a lot of random and crazy shit happened, and it wouldn't have happened the same had I been on a plane or maybe a train. I've had some pretty cool adventures on a train too, like, you know, just goofy shit that's happened. And so, yeah, so in that case, like, the voyage is probably better than the destination. I mean, no, not better than the destination. It's a good lead up to the destination, because the destination is the perfect. I mean, that's the place you want to go. So it's like, but there's a lot of points in your life where it's like you just waste so much time getting there. And like case in point, Afterglow. I could do without the whole 5-hour drive to Afterglow. Like, I just want to be there. I don't want to take the time to get there, because it's like, for the most part, it's a pretty boring trip, you know, go up, you know, freeway, country road, you know, it's like Afterglow, you know, so it's just like, I could do without all the boring freeway driving. The cool, like, country roads are, like, you know, they're pretty neat, especially last time we went up there when the leaves were turning colors and everything. That was a really nice drive, like this 30 miles, 50 mile stretch, I don't know, between here and there. One place and another. So those kind of things I could still take, you know, the voyage. I still would like that. But, dude, I mean, I just want to be there. And I guess, like, where I was going with that is the fact that, like, this drive home still just kind of drives me crazy. But, you know, it's at least like a positive, or like just kind of like a positive step in the right direction as to what, you know, the rest of my night and how it will unfold. So it is kind of something to look forward to, you know, I guess. But like, I guess now it's a good time to talk about why I call this the drive to stay alive. And I kind of touched on it before when I was talking about how work kind of, you make money, which, you know, allows you to get the basic human necessities as far as, like, food, shelter, water, things like that. Like, that if you're homeless, there's a possibility that, like, you might not have access to all those. And so, by making money, I can afford that shit. You know, it's, okay, who cares about that, really? But basically, the drive to stay alive came from an idea that I thought about within the last 2 years. Last year and a half, for sure, about how I really kind of wander around with no purpose in life. Everybody else has, like, goals, you know? It's like, oh, I want to be the head of my company. I want to own my own house. I want to get married and have some kids. I want to be an athlete or a movie star or something like that. Everybody's got, like, these goals. For the most part, there are very material goals. And since it's like, I don't really care about material stuff, you know? It's like, yeah, I guess it'd be nice to have, like, a nice house and a nice car and, like, a couch that doesn't suck and stuff like that. But I mean, I'm getting by and doing all right without that kind of stuff. So do I really need it if I can live without it? No, I don't need it. So it's like, so my drive to stay alive has to be more, I guess, like, with more purpose or more meaning than physical, like, monetary values, like, and, so it's like I have to kind of try to find a purpose, I guess, to live. I mean, like, and don't get me wrong, like, before anybody starts, like, getting worried or whatnot, you know, it's like, I don't want to die. You know, I'm having, despite what it sounds like from time to time, I'm having actually a pretty good time in life. Granted, like, it hasn't gone the way I planned, and the way probably anybody planned. I mean, like, life pretty much sucks, but it's still better than no life at all, you know? So it's like, I do want to stick around for a while, and who knows how long it's going to be, but I feel like there's got to be, like, a lot of things in my life that I could still do. You know, it's like, I don't think, like, this is it. Like, where I am right now at 31, you know, like, single, living in a one-bedroom with a cat, you know, and working a dead-end job, I don't think that's my life. You know, it's like, there's got to be a greater purpose than that, or else what the hell am I doing here, you know? Like, I got to be able to do something else, or, like, you know, and I think I've lived a lot in my 31 years. I will kind of, like, attest to that. Like, been some cool places. I met some cool people, and I've done some really cool things. And I've definitely established myself as a unique individual. You know, they say, like, and this is why I think that this is another thing that I think is bullshit, but, like, you know how they say, like, there's somebody out there for everyone? You know, it's like, as far as, like, a romantic partner or, like, you know, life partner or anything like that. I don't believe that's true, just because there can't be somebody else out there like me. There probably is someone out there who will accept me for who I am and be like, I guess that then there's somebody for everyone. Well, the thing is, like, I feel like I'm just way too out there to just kind of, like, be accepted by people. You know, like, maybe that's just my problem, is the fact that, like, I sit here and I think that I'm so fucking strange that, like, dude, there's no way, like, a girl would ever love me, like, but maybe I'm just not as crazy and weird as I think I am. Maybe, like, everybody else is just kind of, like, as crazy and weird as me, and I'm actually kind of normal. I get that sometimes. Like, I kind of feel like I'm the normal one and everybody else is weird. But I'm not normal, you know, I don't get it, I really don't, like, it just kind of, and it kind of confuses me at times, but basically, like, I don't have a purpose or a reason to kind of, like, you know, be like, yeah, let me wake up every morning because fill in the blank, you know, it's like, I guess it's gotten a little different because now I have another cat. It's just like, it's somebody who depends on you, you know, it's like, you gotta, you know, feed them every day and water them and everything, and it's like, it is kind of, gives you a bit of purpose, even though it sounds really stupid. It's gonna sound stupid to anybody who's, like, never had a pet, you know, it's like, people without pets don't really understand what it's like to have one, but it, like, it really does kind of give you some kind of purpose and meaning, because if I don't feed this pet and I don't take care of him, like, he's gonna die, you know, or he's gonna, so it's like, I do kind of like that. I mean, that's pretty cool, but it's still just, it's a very small thing. It's not like taking care of a child, you know, or who will someday, like, you know, grow into an adult and you need to kind of foster their beliefs and their behaviors and, you know, mental well-being and physical well-being. I mean, it's like, taking care of a kid is a huge ordeal, you know. I'm never gonna take away from anybody who actually, like, raises children and stuff like that. I'll probably never have you know, the joy or the, I guess the chance really to, shepherd a child's life. But the thing is, do I really want to, you know? So if that, if you're seeking, if I'm seeking for like my purpose to be, to have kids and marriage and all that kind of stuff like everybody else, I don't know if that'll work for me. Like, I just kind of like feel like I'm not responsible enough and everything, like, you know, in all in all aspects of life that you would need to, you know, raise a child. So I don't know, I'm getting off the point a little bit, but kind of like sticking with it is like, I think the reason maybe I don't understand, I don't get a lot of things, is because like I said, I don't have that purpose, you know. I just kind of do life because I've always been doing it. You know, it's like you get up, you breathe, take a shower, whatever, you eat, because that's all you, it's what you've been doing your whole life. You just know that you're supposed to live. And that's not the point of life. You're supposed to live life. I don't live life. I just kind of, like, exist. So, I don't know. I mean, I was hoping maybe someday that, you know, it'd be, like, given to me in this, you know, huge revelation where, you know, the clouds part and God's light shines down. And so I was like, you know, Scott, this is what you will do with your life. You will look upon the animals of all my kingdom. You will prevent them from being slaughtered, and you will reap gold from treasure chests sunken beneath the sea. Scott, this is my plan for you. And I don't know why God sounds like that, but that's the voice of God that I hear when I pray. It's like I look up to the heavens and I go, I was like, God, do you hear me when I pray? And he's like, hello, Scott. Yes, I hear you when you pray. I hear you when you fart. I even hear your silent but deadlies. They may be silent to everyone else, but it is not silent to God. And I'm like, God, like, what are you doing listening to my farts, you weirdo? And he's like, oh, don't call the great creator. Do not call the great creator, you know, a weirdo. I am anything but. I am the Lord. I am God. Schedule. No, but like, so, yeah, that's that. Yeah, well, I'm thinking about staying alive. Like, the rain as I'm driving home is pretty awful. And I can barely, like, see the road and shit. And I think I'm in my lane. But so it's like, I guess theoretically, technically, this drive to stay alive is kind of a drive to stay alive. Like, literally, where it's like, I need to kind of pay attention more to the road than, you know, just an average, you know, Sunday going to driving, you know. You're all lollygagging around town. You know, it's like, Hulk! This isn't the way to the Piggly Wiggly. He's like, oh, yes, sir, Miss Daisy. This is one of my shortcuts. Little driving Miss Daisy action for you there. In case some of you kids who are not hip to the movies of the 70s would realize what I was trying to accomplish there. But, yeah, I guess, like, I still haven't found a purpose. And who knows if that's ever going to happen, so I'll keep trying, I suppose. But as I get closer and closer to home, I suppose the last thing I wanted to bring up was I think I briefly mentioned this morning that I'm currently going bananas. And what it is I basically, for the last, now including today, 4 days, I've eaten nothing but bananas. And drink nothing but water. And it's weird because I was expecting to go crazy, you know, it's because it's like, I love food, I eat a lot of it, and I love booze. Like, I just, I like caffeine and stuff like that, and I was expecting to kind of, like, you drop those from your, all of a sudden, you just gotta go cold turkey, like, you know, that's why people can't quit smoking, because, like, you know, they just drop it, and they're just like, oh, shit, I'm different without this. So maybe, like, food isn't as addicting, and booze, I guess some people get addicted to food and booze. Maybe not as addicting as nicotine, but still, I liked food and booze, you know? So I was kind of hoping to go crazy, you know, just because I'd be like, ah, you know, I'm losing my mind because, like, I'm only eating bananas. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. It sounds fucking stupid to say it now, that I expected to kind of lose my mind, go insane, or, you know, drop into this pit of madness, you know, like, just because I couldn't eat, you know, a box of macaroni, and that I was only eating bananas. Like, it sounds stupid to expect madness from that, because it's stupid, it really is. So this Go Bananas thing was, it was a great, I thought it was a great idea, like, in, as far as, just words go, like, I'm gonna go bananas by eating bananas, and I'm gonna go crazy. Like, I mean, it seemed like it was gonna be a funny experiment to try out, and what has happened is that instead of going crazy, I feel really good. I mean, like, really, really good. Like, and it's the complete opposite. I expected just to kind of, like, be sitting there shaking, just going crazy, like, and instead, I'm probably, like, at the most peace I've been in a while, just as far as, like, my overall, like, mental clarity, my, like, health-wise. I took the stairs today at work and wasn't out of breath. I mean, it's stupid. Like, this shouldn't be happening. Everything I'm feeling right now is the complete opposite of what I expected. So it's like, I'm really at a loss here. But then I think about it, and it's not that I'm eating bananas. The eating bananas has nothing to do with what's happening to me. You know, it's like, what is happening to me, like, where I can point my finger and be like, this is why I feel better, it's because I'm concentrating more on drinking water instead of, like, soda, booze, juice, beer, you know, it's like, I'm drinking water. And if anybody, I mean, some people, I mean, they'll tell you, like, drinking lots of water is very good for you. You're actually supposed to drink water, like, you know, something like, is it 64 ounces a day, or is it more than that? That seems like an all, I mean, that's two Gatorade bottles, two big Gatorade bottles. 64 ounces sounds about right. I mean, and I think I'm meeting that requirement, you know, it's like, so that means overall body-wise I'm doing okay, as far as that goes. The other thing, I mean, so I'm not putting booze in, into my system, which has got to be a good thing as well. There's a reason people die from, like, liver failure or something like that. So, yeah, I'm guessing not drinking is probably a good idea. And then, just went through a puddle. That was weird. Sorry, I got distracted by water. The other thing, yeah, is, like, then I'm not eating candy or fried foods or a lot of carbs, or, like, I'm not eating all the junk food that I normally eat. I do eat a lot of things like potatoes and rice and noodles. I eat things with, like, very heavy in carbs, sugar, like white bread, like starch, salt, things like marucha noodles, like things that are very high in salt and carb content and everything like that. So it's like, that's probably not good for me either. So I eat a lot of that crap, and I think just going without it for a couple days, my body's just kind of like, oh my God, I'm free. Like, you know, it's like, I should be eating healthier as far as vegetables and protein and stuff goes like that, instead of, you know, just eating bananas, which is probably a bad thing, because, like, you should never overload on anything. You know, it's, even if you overload on vegetables, you're still probably not going to be healthy, because you need a balanced diet. You need grains, and you need protein and dairy and calcium, and, you know, because you can't just eat one thing. So if there's anything that I learn that I take out of this, it's like, I hope to be like, well, eat a more balanced diet. You know, it's like, it feels good to not drink for a couple days. It feels good to not be eating high fat, high calorie foods and greasy fried stuff. I mean, it feels good to not have those. And so I think I'm learning something. It's insane. Like, I don't understand why. But it's like, if I get this kind of feeling by, like, limiting my drinking and eating healthy, then fuck, man, I want to, like, do this more often. Because I feel really good. So, I mean, going bananas. Who would have thought? You know, it's like, it, I'll only probably keep this up for another 2 days. Just because I was going to go 7, but 7's a little extreme. I'm probably going to go 5. Just to do it, man. And then figure out the rest later, I guess. So, life, man. What can I say? It's like, you kind of just really never know where it's going. Never really know what you're going to get out of it. There's going to be a ton of surprises around the bend. It's just nuts, man. But I'll tell you what, though. Life is worth living. Plenty of things out there, you know, that are so wonderful and amazing and beautiful. You just got to open your eyes and just, you know, allow yourself, you know, the possibility of loving life and all, you know, that life throws at you. So basically all I gotta say for today, because I am home, and I guess this is the end of episode 1, the drive to stay alive. And yeah, it's life, man. Just gotta go out and live it. That's all I can pretty much say to you. So take care of each other, and, you know, get out and live a little bit, man. Alright, take care.